Today we enter a distinct section of John's Gospel. Chapters 11 and 12 are really transitional chapters. This is the last phase of our Lord's public ministry, his last trip to the region of Judea in the south, where he will be crucified. Before things heat up in Jerusalem, Jesus does his greatest miracle in a nearby village called Bethany, namely raising Lazarus from the dead. And friends, in close connection with that miracle, Jesus made his fifth great I am statement. I am the resurrection and the life. In the sermon title today, friends, the resurrection and the life. Let's read now the holy and living word of God from John chapter 11, starting here at verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. And are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, Jesus said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, the death of Lazarus, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Thanks be to God for his word today from John 11. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ and friends, by now most of you understand that our Lord's seven I am statements, his I am declarations, are quite peculiar to the Gospel of John. In other words, we do not find these I am declarations in the other three Gospels, okay? And we cannot help but take these declarations as words by which Jesus very clearly identified himself as the Christ, right? Israel's Savior King, the Son of God, even as Martha confessed. And of course, Jesus identified himself as the Christ, the Son of God, so that people would believe in him for salvation. Of course, he did miracles to demonstrate the truth of these great declarations he made about himself. So that people would, yes, look to Him and go to Him and embrace Him in true faith for salvation and find in Jesus, as he said earlier in chapter 10, abundant life in Jesus, true security, true satisfaction, life with God. Yes, dead Lazarus received new physical life from Jesus, who proved himself to be the resurrection and the life by means of that awesome miracle, which we will find later in chapter 11. But even before people die physically, they are dead spiritually because of sin, which cuts us off from God. We sinners can have true life, life with God, only through Jesus, His Son. So friends, our theme today, dead sinners, spiritually dead sinners, can receive true and everlasting life only in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Through words and deeds, He revealed that He is the resurrection and the life. It's not just that He is uniquely capable of teaching us how to live. It's not just that Jesus can show us the way to eternal life with God. No, He is the resurrection and the life. You say, Pastor, you're being quite pedantic today. We can read. It's very clear. He is the resurrection and the life. But I want to emphasize, friends, these are not merely blessings that Jesus gives. They are realities found only in Him. You have to know that this is how the I Am declarations work. Just think of them for a moment. Jesus does not merely give us the bread of life. He is the bread of life. And He does not merely show us the light. He is the light. He is the way to God. He does not merely give life. It certainly is true. But He is the life. As John said at the very beginning of the gospel, John 1 verse 4. In Him was life. He's the living God. He comes, yes, to give us life. But you see, you have to find your life in Him or you're dead. Do you believe these truths? Oh, the great I Am statements that Jesus makes in John's gospel. Do you believe these truths as Martha did? If you do, friends, you do not go to Jesus to get some good things out of Jesus, but to have Him. My friends, I urge you today, believe on Jesus. Embrace Him in true faith. Not merely to get life from Him, but rather to find your life in Him. For you can find it nowhere else. Friends, this is salvation. Before we get to true life, we actually have to go down to death, however. The town of Bethany is about 2 miles from Jerusalem. In that town lived these siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, disciples of Jesus, evidently close friends of Jesus. There were a lot of women named Mary among the Israelites. Maybe the most popular name of all female names, Mary. The Apostle John explains that this particular Mary, she's that woman who got down on her knees and anointed the feet of Jesus with very precious and costly ointment. She anointed His feet and then she wiped His feet with her hair. An act by which Mary, the sister of Lazarus, an act by which she obviously honored Jesus, also an act by which she showed her deep affection for Jesus. And we'll give that story more attention later. It's in chapter 12. Here in chapter 11, we also see how dear Lazarus was to Jesus when Jesus got to the dead man's house. Jesus wept. And then the people there at the house of Lazarus, they said, "See how he loved Lazarus?" So when Lazarus fell ill, backing up, We read at the beginning of chapter 11 that his sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." Lazarus, the one you love. Jesus loves many. The Apostle John identifies himself as the disciple Jesus loved. But there was a special connection, it would seem, that Jesus had with Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. So they say, Jesus, the sisters say, Lord, the one you love, Lazarus, he is ill. Of course, they were hoping, maybe even expecting, that Jesus was going to come then to Bethany and he would heal Lazarus. Well, notice our Lord's response to their message. It's verse 4. This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, if you were reading the story for the first time, you'd think, okay, here comes another miracle. Jesus surely is going now to heal Lazarus. But no. He did not heal Lazarus. He let Lazarus die. Why would Jesus do this? John explains. Verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. So, and that word in Greek means therefore, he loved them. Therefore, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Jesus let Lazarus die because he loved Lazarus. Our first point today, friends, to glorify himself as the giver of life, Jesus allowed a beloved friend to die. I would guess that Christians typically remember John 11 as that passage that records our Lord's greatest miracle. He raises Lazarus from the dead. And then we quickly move from that great sign, this great miracle, to the truth, which it demonstrates that yes, indeed, Jesus must be the resurrection and the life, the Christ, the Son of God, the only Savior. But most of us probably forget this bit. Maybe some of us want to forget that though he could have healed Lazarus with ease, Jesus let his good friend die. How are we to explain this strange thing? Well, I showed you, John gives us part of the explanation in verse 5 and 6, but back up, because it's first Jesus who explains. Verse 4, would you notice? Jesus says, when he hears the message from the sisters who are expecting him to come heal their brother Lazarus, Jesus said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the illness. Now, it's not ultimately unto death. You understand what he means there. But notice, it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Sometimes God appoints sickness, even unto death, only, maybe I should say, mainly, for the purpose of glorifying himself. We saw this earlier in John's Gospel. Do you remember chapter 9? Jesus and his disciples are at the temple, and the disciples see this beggar, a blind man begging. The man had been born blind, so they ask, Rabbi, who sinned, this man, the blind man, or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, John 9, verse 3, it was not that this man or his parents sinned, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And then Jesus did a great work of God. He gave the blind man sight. But again, the point, friends, the point is that the blindness was not to be so simply explained by somebody's sin. God appointed the blindness in order to do a work through his Son for the glory of God. And it's the same with Lazarus. God appointed illness not to have the man die, not ultimately to have Lazarus die, but for the glory of God. Now, in both cases, the blind man as well as Lazarus, God is glorified through a miracle. But friends, pause. You can't miss it today. You see, for most of us Christians, when we have illness unto death, we are not going to receive miraculous healing. You have to understand, friends, that miraculous healing is not the only way for God to glorify himself in the case of illness unto death. Right? We must look for the glory of God both in our suffering, not just in the remedy for the suffering, but in our suffering, even suffering unto death, and in the suffering of others, we must look there for the glory of God. My stepmother was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer a couple years ago. She's still with us. Thanks be to God. She's doing remarkably well. She has not been miraculously healed. And only God knows how long she has to live. But I can tell you this. God has glorified himself through her cancer. Through her miserable fight with cancer, God has glorified himself. God has revealed himself to her in the most powerful way that has ever happened in her life. He has impressed on her his goodness, his all-sufficient grace, such that she can actually thank God for the cancer. Jesus has drawn her into deeper intimacy with himself than she might have ever experienced otherwise. And as a result, she cannot stop praising her Savior. And she cannot stop telling others about her Savior, glorifying the Son of God, her life, Jesus Christ, who has indeed used cancer, apart from any miracle, has used cancer to make my stepmother know him in whom she already has resurrection life. Beloved, when calamity befalls you or a loved one, and it will, you may ask, why God? Why this? Why now? Why me? Why her? Why him? These are natural questions, and we have a great God who can handle such questions, but you would do well. Are you listening, friends? You would do well to ask, oh Lord, my all-wise God, altogether good and gracious Savior, how will you glorify yourself through this? Not in spite of it. How will you glorify yourself through it? Please reveal yourself. Show us the glory of your goodness and grace, however you see fit. But, O Lord, let us see your glory so that we may then give you the glory. See, friends, illness or death for the glory of God does not mean that God has a right to use your pain and suffering to exalt himself, though he most definitely does have that right. If you are God's child, he will use your illness, even if it kills you, to glorify himself by causing you better to know him and to find your life in him. So you see, for the glory of God actually includes your greatest good. This is clearly what we have in John 11. The illness of Lazarus was appointed by God, who would glorify himself through the miraculous work of his son Jesus. But again, notice Jesus did not heal Lazarus. He let his beloved friend die because he loved Lazarus. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. So, again, therefore, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Jesus purposely lingered there until Lazarus died because, in his great love for these disciples, Jesus was going to use this man's death to do something that would reveal to them the glory and the power of God's saving grace toward them. Once Lazarus died, Jesus headed down to Judea. His disciples were shocked. You'll notice verse 8. Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you in Jerusalem, right? Are you going there again? Why would you do something so crazy? Let's stay away from Judea. Notice our Lord's answer, verse 9. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Of course, the Lord Jesus is reminding his disciples that he is the light and that he does only what is right in accordance with God's plan. Apart from Jesus, the disciples were in the dark. If they knew Jesus to be the light of the world, it was not their place to challenge him, as they were doing. They were to trust him. And yes, they were to obey him and walk in the light with him, even if that meant walking straight into danger. The disciples knew that Jews in Jerusalem wanted Jesus dead. What they did not know is that Jesus was going to Jerusalem to perform, yes, the greatest miracle, raising Lazarus from the dead, but also going there to Jerusalem, ultimately to do his greatest work. No miracle. Sacrifice himself on the cross for sinners. Yes, friends, he can and he will glorify himself through the death of others, but Jesus ultimately glorified himself by means of his own death. Praise God, we have a glorious Savior. And he will reveal that glory for our greatest good, ultimately, through his bloody death on the cross. We're getting very close to his teaching about the cross. But here in chapter 11, Jesus is focusing for a little while here, yes, focusing on death, the death of his friend Lazarus. So will you notice verse 11, he said to his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Just as you said, this is not an illness unto death. Let's just let Lazarus be. He's going to recover." Well, verse 13, now Jesus had spoken of the death of Lazarus, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. And you have to notice it, friends, for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to Lazarus." Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." We call him Doubting Thomas. He could only think of death. He was not thinking of cross, to be sure. He was certainly not thinking of Jesus going down to Bethany to raise Lazarus from the dead. If Jesus and the disciples were going to head down to Judea to be with the family of dead Lazarus, well, they were bound to end up dead with him. That's how Thomas reasons. But again, Jesus allowed Lazarus to die because he loved his disciples, Lazarus included. Jesus even said that he was glad not to be there to heal Lazarus, because through that man's death, God was going to be glorified. Jesus would do a miracle that would deepen the faith of his disciples, Lazarus included. Well, in the time that remains, friends, we consider this second point. Jesus gives resurrection life whenever he pleases, so that those who believe in him shall never die. Jesus gives resurrection life whenever he pleases, so that those who believe in him shall never die. Verse 17 tells us that by the time Jesus arrived in Bethany, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And then verse 18 says that many Jews from Jerusalem had come to the house to console Mary and Martha, right? Comfort these sisters. Now, you want to keep those details in mind. Very important details. It wasn't just a few disciples of Jesus at the house. Many Jews had come. This is a very public miracle. Many Jews are there at the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha in Bethany. And none of them, disciple or not, none of them could have claimed or argued that Jesus merely resuscitated a man who had just died. Because that's not what happened. In the words of Miracle Max, there is a big difference between mostly dead and all dead. Lazarus was altogether dead. 4 days post-mortem, right? So that when the tomb was opened up, everyone was expecting to smell the terrible odor of a rotting corpse. Well, we'll get to the miracle next time, Lord willing. When the sisters heard that Jesus had entered their village, Mary stayed in the house, but Martha, she hurried out to meet Jesus. And you'll notice what she said, verse 21. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Martha was compelled to run out to Jesus, meet him before he got to the house. She was compelled to speak these words. Now, I think you have to ask why. Why Mary stayed? Why did Martha have to go out? Why was she so compelled? Many Christians would say, well, this is great piety. We see here the depth of Martha's faith. Jesus did not come early enough to heal Lazarus, but Martha confesses that she knew Jesus could have done it. And even though her brother is now dead, Martha confesses that she knows Jesus is so tight with God that Jesus could ask God for anything and God surely would give it to him. Now, friends, to be sure, Martha expresses her faith in Jesus. Genuine faith. Maybe not fully formed. But yes, this is genuine faith. But do we not detect grief in Martha's words? Yes, there's the grief because she had just lost her brother. But it seems that Martha may have been experiencing some extra grief because Jesus did not come earlier. And so perhaps you hear a little bit of disappointment in Martha's words. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Mary is going to say the exact same words to Jesus. These sisters knew Jesus to be good, but I have to think that they had some trouble squaring his goodness with what had happened to their brother. Friends, there will be times when we experience that same trouble. You'll notice our Lord's response as we draw things to a close here. Verse 23, please notice with me. He says to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." And she answered, Martha said to him, "I know that Lazarus, my brother, he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Martha apparently took Jesus to be giving her some cold comfort. Sure, Jesus, my brother, will rise again someday. We all know, however, that it will be the last day when all the dead shall rise again. Now, there is real comfort in that truth, but Martha expected to be grieving over her brother's death for the indefinite future, no doubt about it. She had no idea that Jesus was about to give resurrection life to her dead brother, raise him from the dead. She had no idea that Jesus could give resurrection life whenever he pleased. The end of our story, verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And Martha said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." That is exactly the confession that the Apostle John wants us to make about Jesus. If we'd only believe the truth about him, as Martha did. She made this confession before Jesus miraculously raised her brother from the dead. And so Martha may have understood Jesus to be saying that, though physically dead, Lazarus was spiritually alive. He was alive with God because Lazarus trusted in Jesus. Now, indeed, that was true of Lazarus. He was alive with God. Even though dead in the body, he was alive, spiritually speaking. But see, Jesus was about to raise Lazarus, yes, physically raise him from the dead, to prove this, which he had just said. Remember, he let Lazarus die so that he could do a work of God that would deepen the faith of his disciples, a work that would cause them to realize that Jesus does not give his people life as something other than himself, but that he is the life. As he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." What that means, dear saints, yes, it means that Jesus has life in himself because he is God. And it means that just as surely as he will raise the dead physically on the last day, so also he can give resurrection life to the spiritually dead whenever he pleases. And here's the kicker. Jesus can do this not only because he's God, but because he became true man. The man who lived that righteous life that we were supposed to live. That holy, perfectly obedient servant of God, who after his obedient life, died that cursed death on the cross, which we sinners deserve to die under the holy fury of God against our sin. By his obedience unto death, you see, Jesus, the Christ, Son of God, conquered the power of sin and conquered the power of death itself. But see, he gives. This is what his teaching shows us here, friends. He gives his victory, gives his righteousness, yes, gives himself and resurrection life in himself to all of you who believe in him. My friend, do not merely believe truths about Jesus and walk away dead in your sin. The demons believe and they shudder. That is not true faith, simply to believe a bunch of biblical truth about Jesus. If you know Jesus to be the Christ, the Savior King, to be the Son of God, the author of life, go to him. Embrace that risen Savior. Believe in him. Depend upon him for your full salvation. Depend entirely on Jesus alone for your life. His promise is that he will give you life everlasting, life with God, so that even when you die, yet you shall live on with God forever. His promise is that you believers will enjoy eternal life today, so that you will already share in his victory over death. And so the Christian can echo Paul's glorious confession, to live is Christ, to die is gain. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.